Well, hello, boys and girls. Thanks for Casualty Friday. Wait, fuck off. Is it about my hands?
It's so good.
Okay, it is good. Here, let's do it this way. Hello, welcome to Casualty Friday. So, listeners,
we
started this off because I moved away from my computer for 1 second, and these two made fun of me because I speak with my hands.
No, it wasn't that. No,
you can't see me right now giving them the finger with my hands.
That's rude. Fingers.
That is but rude.
The hands bring the energy, and I'm going to show you an example right now of me not talking with my hands. It goes.
It's not your hands. Why are you getting on that?
What is it? No. What?
Your enthusiasm. I said you got to watch her because she's so good with the enthusiasm. It's funny. That's what I said.
He's mean.
We love you. Bullies. I hope we're keeping this because this is the fun. Of us.
We are keeping this because it's showing the world the two bullies that Angela, you all think Angela was bullied, but she was the bully, I think. And Kane is just mean. And I am here left in the dust alone and sad, just a helpless victim. And delete.
We love your excitement. We love your written text on how you open the show. It's spectacular. You are our fearless leader. That's what I said, right?
I even put our show today on Valentine red paper. So now, boys and girls, I am going to start the show. Hello, boys and girls. Welcome to Casualty Friday. I'm Tiffany Shepis, and these are my evil, horrible co-hosts.
Oh, Kane Hodder. I didn't know who was going next. I forgot what you said.
We're good listeners too.
Is it me first or Felissa?
It one more time. Hello, Felissa's boys and girls.
I go last.
Thanks for tuning in to Casualty Friday. I'm Tiffany Shepis.
I'm Felissa Rose.
I'm Kane Hodder.
And it's just a sexy threesome this week because we are guestless, guys. Just the three of us. Come on, Felissa, sing the song. Come and knock on our door.
Come and knock on our door. I've been waiting for you.
That's a
when the kisses
company.
Are hers and hers and his.
Three's company too. Boop, boop, boop,
boop, boop. I love our guests, but I will say, because let's tell everyone, we're staggering it. So we will have episodes when it's the three of us, and then we have episodes when we have our amazing, beautiful friends come on as guests.
Absolutely.
I love the two of you. There is something in my heart that just soars when I'm with the two of you. I don't know if you feel it, but I really, I love it. I could talk to you all day long.
In fairness, we couldn't have the shit show of our intros start out if we had a guest waiting in the waiting room. At least you get the sort of insider baseball of our show of how it always is. Everyone forgetting where to start, who's being intro next, what we're even going to talk about. But I actually feel like I just did a Casualty Friday with you guys because we just the other day did a hatchet panel for Wizard World. And it was crazy fun.
It was so fun.
I think it went really well too. I mean, the chemistry between all of us, since we all know each other, was just so easy, you know?
Yeah.
Such a great group.
It's a really good group. And I feel like the history that all of us have within each other in that franchise, it just made it even better. Like me working with Perry before, you working with Danielle, everybody has had something.
I work a lot with Dave Sheridan.
Exactly. Exactly, but we didn't know Dave. See, you're forgetting the point of this, Felissa. We didn't know Dave before.
I love Dave Sheridan. I feel, you know what my problem is? I feel guilty that I left him in the airport and from a film we were doing and flew to the Joe Bob Briggs show, and we all did the Victor Crowley episode, and I left him waiting for a flight, and he could so easily have come with me to be
so
on that episode.
Sad. It's just a sad, meet cute movie moment, you know, where really wants to be invited, but he's not. That sucks. He would have been funny on the show, but you know, there's only so much room at the drive-in.
Well, we'll have him on Casualty Friday. And that's what we're saying. We love having our guests. And I absolutely adore and love being with the two of you. There's a lot of freedom and a lot of great heartfelt conversation we had that's very, very authentic and truthful. And we lay it out here. And I think this episode is going to be very special because we are about to talk about a lot of things, a plethora of stuff, and from the heart.
The most vague amount of questions. Well,
we were going to do questions for one another. I wanted to start off because we were talking about fitness and eating, and yep. I wanted to hear, I started a raw diet. I've been on the treadmill every day for an hour. I want to hear about the two of you and what you do, because it's freaking hard. You reach a certain age as a woman, and it's not like you just lose a pound in a minute.
Well, it's also super hard that no one's going anywhere for the most part, like, right. Or like, you know, you're limited in where you're going. Like you're generally like all over the place running around, et cetera. But now you're sitting at home, like we're doing this from a computer screen. Like it's tough.
But you said Tom Savini taught you to do like squats.
Tom Savini, he didn't teach me to do the squat. It wasn't like, all right, Tiffany, all right, now we're going to bend it. But that would be awesome if Sex Machine taught me how to do squats. But no,
getting ready for the vampires.
Well, yes. And that's actually interesting that you say it because he is a guest on a Casualty Friday that we haven't aired yet. So that'll be exciting for Casualty Friday listeners to hear the Tom Savini episode. But I was so impressed that he's of his age and how in shape he is. And so when we were doing Joe Bob Briggs drive-in and he was there, I was like, dude, like, how do you do it? And he's like, I do 100 squats a day. And we were like, that's it. And clearly it's not it, but 100 squats, man.
He's excellent genetics.
100 squats. What do you do, Kane? That's decent.
That's a lot.
He would always be at a convention, the only other guest I would ever see in the gym when early on, you know, when we were doing conventions, like in the late 80s, early 90s, he would be the only person I'd ever see in the gym. And, you know, I guess obviously he still maintains it, but I give him shit about the size of his arms. Yeah.
But you too, like your body is crazy fit. Like you look like you don't even have an ounce of body fat. So
yeah, you're in crazy good shape, Kane.
It's weird. Like when I look at you, I'm like, what are you eating? And do you think it's fitness or food? Like what?
Well, it's
most
both
important.
For sure. Both.
Okay.
You have to, you know, so many people when they travel like we do find an excuse to not work out. Well, I was in a hotel, but that's no excuse. You can find a place to work out.
I work out more when I'm away because I don't have the distraction of like, oh, I've got to get kids' food ready or I've got this or I'm going to walk the dogs. Like when I'm gone, like I'm, I think, in the best shape.
Right.
So you're in crazy amazing shape too. You're like a little solid muscle.
No, I'm faking it right now. Like the quarantine, I definitely packed on like 15 pounds easy. And wow. It curved in the right place. And it's just, I'm soft. I'm not as like toned as I used to be.
Right. And along with working out all the time, Susan, my wife, cooks very healthy meals, but not to the point of being ridiculous. You know, like she had tuna steaks that she grilled slightly so they'd be pretty like sushi, but kind of grilled. And it was just amazing. And so the way that she cooks and my incessant need to get in the gym. I don't know. I guess that combination works out decent well.
Yeah, I think it has to be the combo of both, right? I mean, like you can't just work out for like, you know, 30 minutes a day, but eat 20 like Dodger dogs, you know, and an 80 Hostess cupcakes. Like you have to have like the balance. Just recently, because like we packed on, I mean, it's probably about 10 pounds that I gained over like the year of being home.
I don't believe you, but you can keep saying.
No, but I did. But in fairness, you guys both know the shit show that we went through, you know, 3 months prior to lockdown happening. So like, I think mentally I was like, yeah, fuck this. I deserve some ice cream. I am allowed to have 5 bottles of wine tonight. Like, you know, life throws you some shit.
Do you feel that way? Then, do you feel like a little bit, because I know I am, I never worked out in my life. I was a dancer when I was young, and I do think it kept me in like good shape. And I always ate very healthy, but I wonder if there is truth to like emotional eating. And I've been trying to gauge that now that I'm on raw, like when I don't want to eat raw, like, oh, am I going through something?
No, I think absolutely. I think people go through things and some turn to drinks, some turn to working out, some turn to fighting, some turn to food. Like, I think there's definitely a thing to stress eating and like emotional seasons, like, if that's right. I mean, just think about it. When women get their monthly cycle, often it's like, oh, I want to have more ice cream and things. It's like, it's an emotional, like you feed the emotions, literally, right?
Now, for some reason, something came to mind, and hopefully I didn't already ask you this on the show, but I'm starting to get a little bit more forgetful. Did we ever discuss nicknames for body parts?
No.
No, but you have a nickname for me.
What?
It's not.
No, for body parts.
What?
Not really body.
No.
What are your nicknames for body parts?
Yes, you do. No,
clearly you have one for yours. So just tell us.
When I was a kid, I called my penis my beaner.
Oh. when you were a kid.
How old were you?
He's like 23.
19? No. No, 8.
That's hilarious. Really? But actually, just yesterday, we had this conversation with our 7-year-old because he calls his thing his peenie. And Mia said something like, you know, Max, when are you going to start calling it your penis? And we made this joke. I was like, well, no, that happens when you're 10. When you're 10, you become a man and all the men in the neighborhood yell penis, like out of their windows. It's like a rite of passage. And he's like, what? Like if 7-year-old little boy could say what the fuck, he was definitely saying it in his head, like, that's gonna happen. That sounds terrifying.
Come on, you guys didn't have any nicknames for down below? And
yes, I do. Yeah. Because when my kids were little, instead of saying vagina, we would call it the pootie. Your pootie.
That's terrible.
Your pootie.
Sounds like the butthole to me.
That's what I was gonna say.
It no, it's because my husband grew up, instead of saying P-U-S-S-Y, he wouldn't say that. He would say pootie instead of pussy. So
no, ours was for girls China, like as in like your fine
vagina
or fine China.
Good. I like that.
Easily broken.
Now you know that people are going to come up to us at conventions. And say, hey, you want to see my beaner? My China?
How's your pooty?
Yeah, how's your pooty doing?
What was the pooter?
But like, why? Like, if you as an adult have a nickname for your junk, like that's weird. That's bizarre. Like, come and see Big Sam, you know, or like,
there are people who
do that, right?
The cobra's
coming out tonight. Like,
oh, okay, that got so cringy. That's as bad as saying moist.
Oh, it's terrible. That's terrible. Yeah, no. Horrible. So I don't, as an adult, I'm sure some listeners, if you have a nickname for your stuff, let us know so we can make fun of you for it.
Yes.
You know, but like, what about like boobs? Like, do you call them boobs? Do you like the word tits? Like, what's your go-to?
I always say boobs.
Boobs.
Yeah. Kane, what do you say?
Melons.
No.
Just like something weird, like
big tatas.
Marvelous mammaries.
I think maybe just titties. I don't know.
You seem like a guy that says that.
Kane?
What?
Kane, do you like a body part more than maybe other body parts?
On a female subject, you're saying?
Yeah.
No, on men. Which is your favorite male body part on a man? The earlobe?
Boy, nobody ever asked me that before. I mean, I just appreciate a woman's attributes.
But so you're not particularly like a breast man over a butt guy or a eyes or
not legs. Anything over anything else. No.
I love arms. Mm-hmm. I love arms. I think like, just a man's arms are like my downfall.
So funny. Like yesterday was Valentine's Day. And I want to ask you guys if you do anything, if that's like a thing for you, but we got this like game and it's not like a raunchy game, but it's actually like conversations like couples have when they've been married a long time and they're like silly questions in there. And so we had dinner and we were looking at them and one was like, is there a favorite body part? And mine was arms, like on Sean. Like, I just think like the bicep part of a guy's arms are hot.
And what did Sean say? He was like, I got the whole package, baby.
All of you. Like, it was like real creepy the way
he said
it.
I'm sure he said ass, right?
Thighs.
Thighs are hot.
He's a thigh guy, I guess. Who knew?
I find more guys like, I mean, I have some boobs and I have some ass. And I think guys are more into ass than boobs.
I think it's down the middle.
I do too.
50-50.
Really?
Yeah. I think in all the years, like I've actually asked that question of people, like, well, you know, I'm always like a guy wingman, like I'm going to hook you up with so-and-so and I'm going to introduce you to so-and-so. And it's always, it really is like, you're either like a butt guy or a boob guy. Or, I mean, I guess it may be, or then there's dudes like Kane. It's just like, whatever, as long as you're pretty.
Now, wait, what about, now that we talked about nicknames for body parts, what about nicknames when you were a kid? Did you have any nicknames that people called you, like family members?
My little sister couldn't say Tiffany, so it was TT.
That's cute.
Yeah.
Alyssa?
I had friends who called me Fissy because it's like Melissa and you would say Missy. So they said Fissy but not too much. I feel like Felissa was just always, there was no, or Phyllis or Felicia.
Well, yeah, naturally.
That's the natural. That.
That's gross.
Did you?
Who would say that?
Yeah. My dad, my whole life called me Doc.
Mm. That's cute.
And not for any particular reason, I don't think. D-O-C. He always called me Doc. He would write that on cards and stuff like that.
See, I wonder where that comes from. My dad, who passed away, as we've spoken about, when I was 20, he did call me Cookie Girl. Like, he never said Felissa. It was Cookie Girl. And I was telling a friend that recently, and I'm like, it's not even like it was a short little, like, you know,
it's Cookie harder. Girl.
Yeah, it's a lot.
A cookie tattoo. Huh. It's a big name, Cookie Girl. Yeah,
I like it. Yeah, I tried to get people to call me TJ because of my middle name, because I just thought it was a cute name, and it absolutely, like, literally never stuck with anyone.
Like, wait, what's your middle name?
Julia. Jergen. Yes, Jergen. Yes, jack off. It's French. it's
jizz. Tiffany
Jizz. Yes, thank you. Thank you, you fucking assholes.
Jizz bag, by the way.
But we're going to call you TJ from now on.
No, we're going to call her Jizz.
You're disgusting and vile.
I didn't bring it up.
And you're tacky and I hate you.
That's why we love you.
What, and do either of you watch TV? And if you do, is there anything you've watched recently, like in full, like full TV series?
I mean, I loved Shameless. You guys already know, I always watch the true crime serial killer stuff, just because
I watch.
Did you guys watch the one about the elevator girl at the hotel?
Cecil Hotel.
Yeah. That was weird. But like, I ended up falling asleep at the end and Sean had to tell me what happened. He was like, yeah, like she actually didn't get murdered, which makes the whole thing a little just strange.
But like, she ended up in the water tank, right? Wasn't that?
Yeah. Her? Yeah. She ended up in the water tank.
And do you know how they found out?
Because the people were drinking the water.
They were drinking the water and they were like, oh, this is terrible water. And they went to look what was going on. They went to look in the tank. and that's how they found her.
Oh my God.
Oh. I just did a podcast interview with an amazing group. And they asked me this question about TV and whatnot. And I said, true crime doc, that's all I watch. I don't even watch any series, nothing. I'll read and I'll watch true crime doc. And they're friends with the director of Abducted in Plain Sight. Mm-hmm. And they said they're going to hook me up with the director because I have a bazillion questions. That's you know which one that is? Ooh, that's interesting.
Wait, which one is that?
That's another one that's Cuckoo's Bananas.
Oh, the staircase was weird.
Two wives.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Do you think he did it?
Yes. Yeah. Did you?
Have you watched that, Kane?
No.
You have to watch that one.
See Don't F with Cats?
No, I will not watch it.
Don't F with Cats?
Yes. Oh. No, Kane, you need to watch that.
No.
You have to. It's because the reason why, yes, this guy was doing horrible things. He filmed himself doing terrible things, put it on YouTube. But because people love animals so much, the internet, like Facebook people got so crazy. They were like, fuck this motherfucker. We're going to find him. So internet people from across the world started dissecting the video and like, oh, well, look at that outlet. He's definitely in a different country. Oh, look at that poster. That's only made in blah, blah, blah. They tracked this fucker down, but it was unfortunately, spoiler, a little too late because he ended up murdering somebody. It was because of people like us that were fascinated by this stuff, picking apart his videos, and they ended up getting him caught.
And so he's in prison now?
You've got to watch it. You have to watch it.
Wait, because, so he was arrested?
Yes.
He went from animals to people.
There's nobody, right? There's nobody that can be that sociopathic to kill a helpless animal if they don't want
that's why I can't.
I don't believe somebody just kills animals. They want to kill people.
No, I heard all about it. I want nothing to do with it because I don't think I don't know that I could really, it wouldn't be.
You have to watch it. You have to watch it because you will start going, holy crap. Like number one, you realize like, yes, like some FBI people in the world are great and they do this wonderful job and like, you know, certain crimes and stuff. And sometimes it's a massive shit show and they don't know what they're doing. And in that case, it was literally people like you and I that went on and researched it. Like, it was so crazy as it was like, hey, has anyone ever seen this light pole? We think he's in Canada. And somebody's like, yes, that light pole's on the corner of 4th and Main. And it's like, so wow. Then they realized the particular angle was from a balcony on the 4th floor. So he had to be in the building across to the east. It's bananas.
Is there a doc about how to dissect that doc? Because that's great.
Well, it's kind of is incredible. That sort of is what it is. And this psycho was so pissed that these people were like tracking him that he ended up contacting some of them. Like,
this is all in the doc? See, this would be more interesting to me than watching somebody just
that's what it's about.
Sweet little baby animal is not at all.
The show, that's what it is about because it's called Don't Fuck with Cats because it was like this guy put it on and these people were so enraged that they found it. It's awful because he killed somebody, right? But it's unbelievable what these people.
I will. I gotta watch it now.
You have to watch it. You're just be like, what the? And it's gonna make you want to like do that. Like forget ghost hunting. You're gonna be like serial killer tracking. Because I did. I was like, I need to find people too.
What platform can I see it on?
On Netflix.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right. It's wild. And then we watched another one that was like that. Not the staircase one.
The Keeper. What was it called? The Keeper?
That was with the like the nun, right?
The nuns, yeah.
Yeah, I think I fell asleep.
Yeah, what it's called.
That was The Keepers. I'm supposedly really, really good, but I fall asleep, man. Good. I'm very much that lady. Sean hates it. Like if you put anything on past 9 o'clock, I'm fucking done. Absolutely done.
That's funny. I am too. The big joke in my house is let's watch a movie so mom could get some sleep.
Yeah, no, we are absolutely the same. But if I put it on like in the middle of the day, which I would never have time to, I probably could.
That's why I'm shocked. Like even television, I just I'm too, by the time I'm ready to watch a show, I'll just go to bed. So
yeah. I mean, we watched The Haunting of Bly Manor, which, cause like we loved like the Hill House stuff. And our friend XL Carolyn directed some this season. It was really, really cool. Yay. And so we watched that. We watched Cobra Kai. And if you guys haven't watched it,
I haven't.
You really should. Just you're going to get a kick out of seeing people we know. That's really it. It's
That's nice.
I mean, Kane's shaking his head. I feel like he's not like a Marty Cove fan.
not really. nothing against Marty, but I just, I don't know.
It's just funny. It's very like, I don't know. Maybe you had to have been a fan in the 80s of Karate Kid, and then just to kind of see how they, it's sort of like our joke about you guys being bullies, which you are to me, but they turn it around where it's like you actually care about the bully in it, and you're like, wait a second, did I have this wrong all these years?
Remember the best of the best movies?
Yeah.
I did all of them.
That's right. Yeah. And wasn't Dee Wallace was in one, wasn't she? Wasn't she in Best of the Best?
Oh shit, I don't know.
I think she was. I'll have to go back and look.
Go off the screen, but
how was Valentine's Day?
So mine was actually really charming. So Sean, well, you know, Mia loves to cook. Like Mia and Felicia's daughter Bianca used to always like bake and cook together when they were little, and like make amazing things. Kane, like I'm not talking like oh, we're gonna try this. Like they made things that Felicia and I were like, shit, you guys should open a shop. So Sean, because we still don't go anywhere, and here in California, there's really still not too many places to go. Sean hired Mia to cook us a 4-course dinner, and it was legit. Like we ended up tipping her $100 after, because it was amazing. She made, it was like a Caesar salad that was homemade dressing to start. Then it was a cream of tomato soup, then filet mignon with, like a garlic butter sauce, and then a trio of desserts. And I will put it online. I'll show you guys. They actually made a menu, and Max, our little guy Max, came down in like a jacket, which was way too small for him. So it was like the sleeves up to here. And he drew a mustache on and said his name was Pierre, but he was the fucking worst maitre d' of all time. He told me I had to stand outside until the mister arrived. It's fucking cold out. But like, it was cute. We dressed up.
That's amazing. Did you take any video of this?
No, we didn't take video, but we did have them take a photo of us. Like, we really acted like, I mean, we haven't gone anywhere. You guys have gone places. Like, there's us dressed up.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful.
Like, we made it fun. And then, of course, I drank, like, you know, 2 bottles of wine and got grumpy and went to sleep. So, happy Valentine's, Sean.
That's funny. Kane, what did you do?
Both boys are still here with us in Utah. Jace actually left yesterday, but we had kind of Valentine's on Saturday. We just had a great dinner at home. And then the boys have been having, you know, friends here and girlfriends and stuff. So it's been really good. And I just like spending time, you know, all four of us together, because it doesn't happen that often.
I have a question. Like, having older boys like that, like, are you constantly concerned, like, the girl that they're going to bring home, like, you're not going to like them? Or like, how's your wife feel? Like, are they like you guys? Like, what's that dynamic?
Reed, my boy, he's probably going to be pissed to be talking about it, but he had his girlfriend here for 7 weeks.
Whoa.
And it was like a family member. She's so easy, and it was just fantastic.
Is this a serious relationship?
I believe so, but he's gonna fucking punch me in the head now.
Do you push for it? Are you constantly like, all right, you know, you should give this one the ring, or are you like,
I'm not gonna do that. And I was getting ready to take Jace to the airport in the morning, I was out in the garage and he was loading his stuff in the car. And I went into my one of my steel cabinets to get a jacket. And I opened the door and then turned around because he said something to me. And then turned around and leaned into the cabinet. I don't know if you can see.
Oh, yeah. Dang.
Hit my cheekbone on the cabinet, which in turn, of course, made me punch the cabinet many times. And Jay says, after I did that, I was just mad at myself, really. And after I did that, Jay said, well, that's a nice way to start the morning. The airport.
How's your Melissa? Hand? How's your hand?
That's fine. It's never a problem. And that was another question I was going to.
Wait, I want to know about Felicia's Valentine's Day.
Oh, yes, please.
It was beautiful. We, I have to say, like, normally we just give like some chocolates and some little, you know, tiny gifts. My husband decided this year he was going to shower me with crazy stuff, like gift cards to my favorite clothing stores and a big box of like shower and bath gels from Lush, which is, It was a pack. He said he went in and he waited a half hour online. I was like, do you have a concussion? What is happening, sir? And then we ordered in because it was really windy here last night. So we couldn't go sit outside at a restaurant. So I ordered in this big Italian meal and we put candles all over because we thought the lights would go out, but it was very romantic. And we ate this amazing food and just conversed amongst the five of us and had a lot of fun.
Cute.
And I drank a lot of vodka.
Nice. So I love that, that you had an accident with your face, not because it's you, but it reminded me of the story. So not last night, but the night before, Sean decided finally that he was going to paint. Like, we had one wall of our house that wasn't painted because we didn't have a ladder tall enough, because it's like a really tall section. And so he borrowed a ladder from our neighbor and he's up there and he had the paint in his hand and he does a great job with this kind of shit. He's very handy, but he slipped off the ladder. Oh. And I hear a shit, fuck, this screaming. And first thing I'm like, oh my gosh, are you okay? Like, as I couldn't even see him, I just heard it. He's like, yeah, I'm fine, but there's paint. And I walk out and dude is covered, I'm not kidding you, covered in white paint all over his face, his glasses, like down the back of his neck. And then I look and the fucking stairs, the only carpet we have in our home, covered in paint. And he's like, you Kane, like just gets pissed and he's like mad and he's like yelling and he's like, Mia and I are hysterically laughing because I'm like, once I knew he was okay, I'm like, well, what a shit show, like I'm just gonna laugh because, like,
by the way, that makes you it even worse.
It's worse. You're inciting him, you're making him more angry.
I couldn't stop because it was just like, what can you do at that point? Everything we touched, like, it smeared even more. And then like the cat fucking ran up and there's paw prints everywhere. It was amazing. And then he's screaming because he's like, you can't let it dry, I'm gonna shop back it up. So I like just pour water everywhere, which didn't help.
Did you get it all off?
Dude, it's all off, like except for like maybe like little couple parts on the banister that it just absorbed and I couldn't get it. But we were planning on sanding those anyway and one day painting them. But
wow.
But it just reminded me of like how different people are. Like, he was so mad and so upset. And Mia and I were just like, well, what are you going to do? Like, why be mad? Like, it's so fucked up that you just can't help but laugh at this. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you did not see it that way.
Should work to say something like that, but it does not when you're enraged.
He was
pictures of my garage in Calabasas, right?
Yes.
All the knuckle marks in those cabinets. I'm trying so hard to not do it here, but it's better. I'm.
How's that working for you?
Calm. I was going to say that. I was going to ask you guys, what's the worst part of your personality? And mine is my temper, for sure, with that kind of stuff.
I'm quick to say really shitty things. Like, really mean
Boy, don't we know it, Melissa.
Mine to you guys are actually in love. Or sometimes when I'm just mad at you guys because you're like late or ill-prepared or...
Did you say we don't care?
Or don't care.
We care very much. Very, very much.
What's yours, Felissa?
God, where do I start?
Too nice.
Too many. No. I get pretty quick. Sometimes I'll jump the gun and the story will be, you know, it will be created in my own mind. And instead of leading with, well, what's going on exactly? I'll lead with, what the fuck is that? You know what I mean? I jump the step because the narrative in my own head told the whole story that somebody did something shitty to me and then I'm pissed off. But it's pretty rare.
Well, we talked about that before. Like I do too. Like I jump to conclusions and I also feel like I'm the only one, like everyone's ganged up on me, even though that narrative, I've just made it up. And it's bad. It's a bad habit to get into because then you start off like already on the defensive rather than, you know, so that sucks. Yeah. I'm trying to work on that, but I'm quick to be really mean, like straight up. Like if like you have a problem, like if you hate your eyelash, like I'm going to tell you your fucking eyelash is ugly. do you guys I actually asked this to Sean yesterday. We were walking the dogs and it was just like a random question, and I'm curious of what you guys think. If you didn't have to worry about COVID or getting sick or anything like that, and there was anywhere in the world you could go right now for like 7 days, where would it be? Like there's no COVID. So you got to remember, like, all right, everything's done. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to wear a mask. Are you more prone to think you'd want to go do something like sightseeing-ish, or do you just want to fucking chill? Like my answer was like, and Sean and I were both on the same exact page, like Mexico, beach, chill. Because like
mine's Hawaii. I would want to go to Hawaii. Yeah.
I think I'd want to go to Kwajalein, where I grew up, just because I haven't been there in now, what, 20 years?
Why? Why haven't you been?
Because you can't go visit there. You have to go through all the protocol and be invited as a guest because it's technically a military base. So,
well, can't you make a friend?
Yeah, you can, but it's just such a process. And, you know, I'd like to see how it's changed and hasn't changed. You know, because so many things last time I went there were so different. And then other things were exactly the same as they were when I was in high school, which is bizarre. So, you know, I'd probably want to go there just for the hell of it.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds pretty cool. Can you get nearby? Like what's the closest island?
Nothing. You got to fly from Hawaii to it.
Oh, so you can go see Felissa in Hawaii and then...
It's the same length of flight from LA to Hawaii as Hawaii to Kwajalein. It's another flight.
Whoa.
Same direction, basically, southwest. So
I think we should do, when COVID's over...
An episode from there.
We should do an episode from there. Find a way to get us invited.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what we should do. And it's like, we spend 2 days and
that would be amazing.
And if we can't do that, then we should go somewhere like a weird place. Like maybe like we'll draw like names from all over the country and end up in Tahiti, but we may end up in like Topeka, you know, like, and we have to go. We have to go.
Don't say it, Felissa. Don't say it. Topeka's listening.
Don't talk shit about Topeka.
I actually filmed Zombiegeddon there. I have fond memories and feelings about that area. You know, there's really no, I can't think of a place I wouldn't be excited to visit because truthfully, everywhere you go, it's a new experience. Yeah. It's a new adventure. I'm very adventurous. I love to go everywhere all the time. Even if it's just, you know, taking a drive and parking the car in California and walking
Seeing
the landscape.
That's what we should do. For season four, we're going to put in a fishbowl, and we have to do it in the United States. So it's like not Tahiti, unfortunately. And we pick and we show up there one day, we will explore it, and then we'll do an episode on that city. And maybe even meet one of our top fans from that city who can be our tour guide.
Right. Not bad. I don't mind that at all.
That would be fun.
With that, man.
And imagine how drunk we could get at a bar in Shakopee, Minnesota.
Wow.
I am ready. What is this happening?
We're only a couple episodes away from season four, guys. It's not, it could be as soon as this summer. So anyone who's listening to this, start shouting out your favorite cities that you might want to go in the fishbowl, and we may be there.
That could be.
I have a quick question.
No.
It's not really, it's just a question that has to do with like life. And I'm wondering like, and it's not a bucket list thing, but like, is there something in your life that you reflect on that you would love to do or fulfill, whether it's like seeing an old friend you haven't seen, or just something that's sort of profound in your own heart that you kind of think about in life?
No, I'm just kidding.
You don't think about, like, I think of it often.
I mean, that's a tough question. That's a good question. And it's heavy because
it is heavy. I know it's sort of heavy, but you know, I feel like in the last year or two,
I feel like I've evolved in a way that I am actually proud of. And like, I feel like I surround myself now only with people that lift me up or that I feel help kind of contribute to like the person that I want to be and the things that I want to accomplish and stuff like that. And I don't mean like bring people around you just because they help you get somewhere, but I mean like elevate the message that I now want
to have. Love, inspire you.
You know,
insulating yourself with people who truly love you unconditionally.
Like I've talked to you briefly about this, Phyllis, and but we're starting a nonprofit for children who are victims of violent crime. And, you know, it'll be like a resource center where they can find therapies or, you know, like Kane, like you've been through it and know the effects of like PTSD. And so, you know, having a place that these kids can go and find like those kind of resources. And so like, since we're starting that, like, it's sort of that same thing. It's like, I feel like, all right, there's like a bigger thing out there than just me. And any voice that I come in contact with that can kind of help in that realm, I want them around.
Yeah, I understand that kind of thing. And the one, you guys know that, because you know my story about the burn and everything pretty well, that my biggest, I guess it'd be disappointment regarding relating my story about the burn and the recovery and the PTSD and everything, is that I never, ever got to talk to the reporter that was with me. It was just me and her, and she was taking pictures and she witnessed the whole thing, and she has never wanted to talk to me about it. And recently, Mike Aloisi is going to put out an anniversary edition of our book, Unmasked, and we finally were able to, I was able to talk to her, and she is relating her side of that day to Mike for the anniversary edition of the book. And I've always wondered how it was for her. It couldn't have been easy. And she even said a couple things Mike has told me that they've talked already a little bit, that she actually helped put me out. And I don't remember that at all. And, you know, I've always wanted to hear her side, and she just never wanted to tell it. So that's like kind of a bucket list thing. Yeah. And I thought maybe it was better for her to tell her story to Mike instead of me, because it might be a little, you know, sanitized or something. If she was telling me, she wouldn't want to say something that was bad. Maybe I was shitty to her when I got in the Jeep because I was dying and, you know, shit like that. I don't know, but it's going to be such an honor to hear her side and see what she had to go through, because it could not have been easy.
It's unbelievable. Like we talked a little bit, I believe, about this on the last episode, that when you have something traumatic happen in your life, the story, when Mia got shot, I realized very quickly how everyone had a different version, not of the actual act of what happened, but the way they found out, the way I spoke to them. Like Felissa and I talked that morning and I have no recollection of it. So I remember when she came over right after Mia got home from the hospital, I asked her, I was like, wait, I called you? Like, what happened? Like, tell me the story, because it is so, because when you go through something traumatic, your brain, most people will tell you, shut it off or actually recreate the story yourself. And I think it's a way of like self-preservation. So like, I wanted to hear like, wait, this happened. Like I heard so many different stories from people like that were all the same and they were all their own truths, but all so fucking different.
And was that, I mean, I know we've talked about it, but did you find out via a phone call?
So I was at home. And so for the listeners out there that don't know us very well, or if you're just tuning in, I actually have never talked about this on our show. Our daughter was shot at a school shooting in November of 2019, and she survived. But so that morning I was at home because I was going to a class. I was going to a Groundlings class in Hollywood. And so my mom was dropping her off at school and Sean was taking Max, our little guy, to school. And I called Mia because she had just gotten dropped off. And I was telling her that where we volunteer at like a kind of like a food pantry was closed for Thanksgiving that year. So I'm like, oh, we're gonna have to cut school. And so I called her and I was like, yo, you're gonna have to cut school. Like, what day is good for tests? And she's like, oh, let me check, blah, blah, blah. I'll call you, or I'll see you after school. 10 seconds later, my mother called me and was like, everyone is running out of the school. I think something happened. And I'm like,
she was still there?
Yeah, she was turning, because it's so, when you're leaving a high school, like the lines to get out are just so long and you're waiting at lights forever. And she's like, they're all running out. I think something happened. I was like, well, nothing happened. I literally just talked to her. I was like, maybe they had a fire drill. She's like, Tiffany, I don't think it's a fire drill. These kids are screaming.
Shit.
And I was like, well, that's not true. So I start calling Mia and she's not answering. But I really, truly, guys, like, I had no doubt in my mind Mia was fine, because I just spoke to her like seconds earlier. And now I'm starting to get mad. And for whatever reason, and this is not like me, I'm not helicoptery. Felissa, you guys know me as a parent. Like, I'm there, but I'm not weird. I was like, fuck that. I'm going to that school. Like, why won't she answer my call? And I put my shoes on and something in my head, and I don't know why, guys, I said, it's cold. I'm going to take a warm jacket with me. It was hot. It was still like, it's Southern California. It was actually a beautiful day. I brought this weird big coat with me. And as I am approaching the school, I'm about a block away, I got a text and it said, hey mom, I don't know if you've heard, but there's been a shooting. I love you. And tell Max, our son, to chew with his mouth closed, because that's what she always yelled at him every night. And I'm like, I'm thinking like, all right, she's not shot. She's writing me. So she's hiding. And so because we all watch so many true crime docs, I know I'm not going to call and alert somebody because her phone's going to ring. So I text back, where are you guys? Are you okay? And the person wrote back, no, she's been shot. So I'm driving and I call the number and I'm like, my first words, I was like, who is this? It's a fucking joke. It's not a funny joke. And the little girl goes, no, Mrs. Tretta, I'm not joking. Mia's been shot. And we're here. We're waiting for the police. And I'm now turning onto the side street where all the cars are coming and they're like flying away from the school. And I'm driving toward the school and moms are yelling out at me, don't go that way. Don't. And I'm like, you know, F you, like, you dumb bitch, like, get out of my way. Like, cause they don't know what's going on with me. And I'm just like, I'm asking questions to this little girl on the phone. But then I'm like, this is such a weird thing why this happened. I said, hang up. I'm on my way. You want the cops to be able to get through. Like, it's like an old landline is what I was thinking, like why I would say that, but I did. And so essentially I was able to get to the school and be there right as they were wheeling her out. So I knew very quickly that she was all right. And as a matter of fact, I told you guys this before, when they brought her out, because of the color of her clothing, I didn't see any blood. So I was like, she's fine. Like, this is a mistake. Like, or she got a piece of something, or, you know, like there was no, thankfully it worked out like that because it kept me very, very calm. Until I found out later on where she was shot, and she was shot in the lower abdomen. And had I had known that or saw that, I probably would have collapsed on the floor and had like a weird mom dramatic seizure or something. But I was able to be very, very calm. I got to fly in the helicopter with her to the airport, or to the airport. We're going on a trip. I got to fly with her in the helicopter to the hospital, which was surreal and strange. And when we got there, they really do rush out like on ER or on like, you know, CSI, where like all the doctors rush out and there was like 50 of them. And like a lady actually took my warm coat and put it over my shoulders. It was such a strange, like, why did I bring that coat, guys? Why did I bring a coat? Like, and it was freezing in that hospital. And I used that as definitely like my security blanket while I waited for Sean to get there, who drove there and met me. How did we get on this?
No, sorry. Probably my doing.
PTSD.
I think it's a really, I think, and I know Kane agrees with me. Thank you so much for sharing this with us.
Oh, I mean, only because you know that it's,
I believe that in you speaking about it, it does help so many people.
Absolutely. Sure. Somebody that's going to listen to this right now is going to say, wait a minute, Tiffany knows what I'm going through.
Yeah. And I do, because guess what? Like, even though you may not be the person who got burned, you may not be the person who got shot, you may not be that, but your PTSD from that, like the reporter's PTSD, I'm sure to this day still affects her from witnessing what happened to you, or sure, witnessing your child go through an illness, or it's all the same. And, you know, some obviously worse than others and some different than others, but, you know, we here at Casualty Friday do understand, and we do get what you're going through. And like I told these guys, like, it was really hard to be normal after something like that. And it still is at times. And I still have weird moments and weird breakdowns. And I drive past that school and I fucking shout at the sky, like, what the fuck? You know, like, I'm not, I mean, I pretend to be an asshole to you guys, but I'm not an asshole. Like, why did this happen? You know? But there are things that will happen in your life that you can, I don't know, try to find a way to make sense of it or make something better for somebody else. And I guess that's what we're going to try to do with like the nonprofit of it is, you know, it's not obviously just school shootings of kids that are victims of violent crime. I mean, kids are victimized every single fucking day, and it's sad and it's awful. So let's try to find ways to make their lives better and easier for them to find resources for help, you know, easier for them to find therapies, because not everybody has a research mom like me who can find places that you can heal, you know. And you know, and I'm going to reach out to you two yahoos and our listeners to help us with it, because that's sort of part of like the horror family. I think we talk about this all the time of why this genre really is so great, is that we each have each other's backs, you know?
We'll do anything to help. And you have really been like such an inspiration and such a hero. And you know, I tell you that I love you, and I'm amazed, like, just to watch your strength, you and Mia, has been really incredible.
And thank you, Tiff, for, you know, even sharing that, because sometimes it's not something you want to talk about on this kind of platform necessarily, because you think, oh, I'm just trying to, you know, make something happen interesting, but you told your story and it's from the heart and it's no, there's no other reason for it. And thank you for sharing it.
No, no, thanks. I mean, you guys know, I love you. And I don't often like, I like to keep our show fun and crazy and silly. And Felice is usually the heartstrings one. And there's not a lot of good that comes out of a story like this, which is why I don't generally like to talk about it, but I do think it's important, you know, for people to know that this shit happens. And, you know, we all go through something in different parts of our lives that, mm-hmm. whether it be sickness or injuries or crimes, you know, like this, that, I don't know, that, you know, we're real human beings and well, everybody will get through something somehow, right? Like we'll do it together. So that's fucking enough of that.
I think it's also good that, you know, the thing I love about Casualty Friday is that we do take, like, it's different levels. You know, sometimes we're laughing or making fun of each other and giggling or getting angry and pissed off, but this is real talk. And I think it's so important to really speak from the heart. And I think utilizing it in this way is magnificent. And I'm so thankful that you shared this. There's no doubt that you are helping so many people. And again, we love you and we're grateful that you, you know, felt ready to talk about it.
I told Kane this shortly after it happened. I said, well, you know, we have all got it wrong all these years making movies where people get these horrible wounds from a gunshot or whatnot, like, you know, where you're screaming and you're, oh my God. Like, Mia was the most stoic in shock person to have had something happen to. Like, if you portrayed it that way on film, Felissa, I would have been like, what a joke. Get some acting class. But the truth is the body is this amazing thing where it I don't know what it does, Kane. Like, what happens? Like, you go into shock and it shuts off, so you don't feel the pain. Like, it has to, right? Like, your brain just can't handle it.
I don't remember any pain that day. So
and like I said, I think it's a way the body does it to self-preserve, but also for other people looking in at it. Because had I seen a child screaming in pain, right, I probably would have just had a heart attack and died myself. But I was like, whoa, all right, she's okay. So, but I was joking, not joking about it, but about how, like, I've always played, you know, I've played people who have gotten shot so many times, and I definitely have done it from the overacting camp where it's like, definitely not going for realism there. So something a bit lighter that I was actually totally curious about, because being in California where we don't have seasons like where you have now, Kane, like you get winter and you have fall, like it's always just sunny here. So I do find myself being a horror fan that I do miss the New York seasons of Halloween and, you know, just the kind of vibe that you get of having just something different every day. And I don't know why I want to know this. What is the best Halloween costume you have ever had?
Felissa?
The best Halloween costume?
Yes, because I had to go from so low that I have to now bring it back up.
You know what? I had a really good time when I was in New York. I had the opportunity with Fangoria to host the New York City Halloween Parade.
That's
with
amazing.
Dee Snider and Debbie Rochon. And my favorite costume was I was 6 weeks pregnant with Bianca and I was a Playboy bunny. And I loved it. It was so fun. It was the real bunny, little ha-cha-cha.
So you're telling us you were a basic ho.
I loved it. I embraced it. I was like, put me in those stilettos and fishnets and tiny little satin bodysuit. Yeah, it was super fun. So much fun.
I think mine was a not very well done attempt, but you've seen the really well done version of a costume. It's one person, but it looks like the shoulders are, how do I explain it? The shoulders are up here and you're holding your own head.
Oh yeah, those are cool.
My son was that this year. Yeah.
And I did that, God, back in like 1975. And, you know, I did it as well as I could, but it was effective to a lot of people. But, you know, I just wish I had put more work into it, made it better. But it was still, when that costume is done well, it's amazing.
That's pretty good.
Hilarious.
We did.
They're funny.
Sean and I went, I don't know, about 10 years ago, as I was like a puppet, like a he was like a ventriloquist dude. And I was the puppet. But, you know, like, I can't just half-ass anything. So I stayed in character the entire night. Like, he had to, like, help me drink. Like, at the time I smoked cigarettes, he had to help me smoke my cigarette. Like, it was a whole thing. And we were
I feel for him.
And we won $1,000 in their costume contest. And we weren't particularly trying. It was just like, we were just really into it. And that it might have been my best one, because it was just, well, it was
her best work ever.
Well, because I looked really cool and he looked really cool. And so we just looked cool.
The two of you always do really good costumes. Like, I paint on little cat whiskers and put cat ears every year. And my family's like, oh no, she broke out the cat ears.
You even became the cat in Tales of Halloween. It was like, it is the most basic of sexy. It's like either sexy witch or sexy cat. And you master them.
I like being that little pussy cat.
But it's cute, because actually, if you
that little booty cat,
the booty cat, or the China cat. If you haven't seen Tales of Halloween, you actually should. But Felicit is like an Easter egg in it, where it's like she's like follows like barely apart, but in every segment there's a cat walking by trick or treating.
I'm basically like this, like waving.
I'm
to
still
the
here.
Camera in every
like ridiculous. just blend into the background, Felissa.
So
like, meow, meow, meow.
I ring the door, meow.
Man, so we have touched on so many things in this episode, which I think is why we all like to do our episodes alone. So I mean, we love having guests, but alone, we've touched on everything from singing the Three's Company theme song to what we do on Valentine's Day to very sad stories that I threw out there talking about.
Do you call it Valentine's?
Valentine. You are a bully and you cannot be mean to me. I just told you a very heartfelt story. I need love.
No, because I was sitting with a friend the other day and we were talking about different words that get misconstrued, like library or
like coupon, like people that say coupon, like with
coupon.
That annoys me.
Valentine's is a word that people say, Valentine. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. But coupon bothers me. It's coupon. Coupon.
Have a coupon. I think I say coupon.
You do?
Do you say envelope or envelope?
Envelope.
Envelope.
But I think that's a choice. That's not one being correct.
Or the other, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you say vase or vase?
Vase.
Vase.
Do you say face or fosse?
Face.
I
say
face bella. Beautiful thing.
Well, I think we are going to wrap up this excruciatingly long hour. I do want to say thank you for listening to my story, and I do encourage all of you to support your mental health things out there, support PTSD foundations. There's people out there that are available to help if you've gone through any of these kind of things. And we're always here for you. Always can reach out, tweet us, talk to us, tell us what you're going through. We are not mental health professionals, but we listen and we understand. But next time we're going to have guests. we're going to have a guest back. And I think it may be somebody from the Scary Movie franchise who may have also been in a Hatchet film.
Victor Crowley.
I wonder who it can be. We only talk about him all the time.
Do we?
But
do you feel like we talk about him a lot?
I feel like we talk about Dave Sheridan a lot on our show.
Really?
Because we are big fans. We're big fans of him and his comedy. Speaking of comedy, we are going to have another guest that's not necessarily known for horror films, but has been in a horror film with all of us, who is also big on telling jokes. I'm not going to say any more than that, but he is a guest coming up in the near future.
Kane, do you know who this is?
No.
Kane has no idea. I keep everything secret from you guys because you guys are blabbermouths and you're mean.
Is it cute?
Just tell me. Nobody will listen. Don't listen, you
guys. All right. Don't listen. Everyone stop listening. It might be Brian Quinn. Might be. It might be. But that's all I'm going to say for now. Thank you guys for listening. And we will catch you the next time.
We love you.
Valentine's.
Later.